How do you know that he's not the man for the job to satisfy you? Have you ever told him how you felt? G9. I knew one thing. I may not have been the best man to solve Amber's little problem, but I was sure as fuck a better option than this dude she thought she was talking to. A few minutes later, she responded. G9. No, I've never told him anything, and I don't plan to. I really care for him as a friend and wouldn't ever want to ruin that. I think I mentioned to you before that he was my ex's best friend for several years. We were all friends and have a long history. Yes, I'm very attracted to him, but I'm not looking to make my life more complicated right now. That's why I came to you. I just need to satisfy this physical need I have. I've only been with one person my entire life, and it's been a while since I've had sex. I know the site said that photos are not provided, but do you have a picture of yourself you can send me? Amber. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I needed to end this, set a date to meet her, then figure it out and be done with this charade. Amber. I'm not able to send you a photo, but we can plan to meet a week from Saturday, early evening if you'd like. Say 4 p.m. I can book us a room at the Peabody Hotel. We can meet in the lounge first. If you're having doubts at that time, you can walk away. I'll completely understand. No fees charged. G9. How was I going to get out of this? Did I even want to? Should I come clean? Show up and confront her? Let her think he stood her up? I had no idea. A new message popped up. G9. Thank you for agreeing to meet me at a public place. I really appreciate that. The truth is, I won't know how I'll feel until I get there, until I see you. I'm sorry if that sounds really superficial. Please bring the medical paperwork you promised. That time sounds good. I can plan to be there. Amber. I had a week to figure this out. I typed. Amber. I completely understand. Let's say 4 p.m. at the lounge. I'll be wearing a black polo shirt and will probably be seated in the corner. Otherwise, at the bar. If you need to cancel, simply message me at this email address by 3 p.m. If I don't hear from you, I'll assume we're still on. G9. A final response came through. G9. Thank you. I will see you then. Amber. I shut my laptop and let out a deep breath. Amber. Why? A part of me really wished I could storm down the hall to her room and ask her what the fuck she was thinking in agreeing to meet him. The other part of me was fighting my body's reaction to the idea that she was turned on tonight because of me. It wasn't fair to take enjoyment out of that thought, given that I'd basically stolen that information. It was never meant for me to know. Then an unsettling thought hit me. If I tell her the truth, what if she doesn't understand that I was just trying to protect her? I could lose her friendship over this. The clock ticking in my head was practically deafening. My mouth was parched, so I decided to get up for a glass of water. I stopped short because I wasn't expecting to see Amber in the kitchen. Clearly, she wasn't expecting to see me either, because she was wearing nothing but boy short underwear and a thin tank top. Fuck me. So much for sneaking a quick drink of water, Amber said. She covered her chest with her arms, but it was too late. I'd already seen her breasts in their entirety through the thin white fabric, with their piercing nipples and teardrop shape. I wished I hadn't. For the first time that I could remember in my life, I'd lost my words in front of a woman. Pointing my thumb behind me, I stammered, I can come back. Returning to my room with my one-eyed trouser snake, I wiped the sweat off my forehead. She'd been messaging me, G9, half-naked. My rigid cock was sticking straight up in the air. I was a lost cause. Then a funny thought hit me. For some reason, this night reminded me of something from the animated movie The Secret Life of Pets. I'm Tiberius. Holy shit, I'm Tiberius. I started laughing to myself. A date had dragged me to see that movie once. In the film, there was this sweet little white Pomeranian named Gidget, who entrusted the help of a red-tailed hawk, Tiberius, to help her find her friend, the Jack Russell Terrier who'd gone missing. The entire time, the hawk struggled with whether to help her or eat her. Yup, I was Tiberius, and Amber was Gidget. The next evening after work, I came home to a rude awakening. Upon entering, the sight of a man sitting in the living room took me by surprise. My heart sank because my first thought was that I'd interrupted some kind of hookup. He didn't see me come in, didn't even flinch when I opened the door. His eyes were fixated on the television instead. Kitty was weaving in and out of my legs as I stood frozen, observing this man who was making himself at home in the living room. Was I about to interrupt something? Amber brought a man back here? My stomach churned, thinking that maybe she was freshening up, readying herself for something sordid with this guy. Since he hadn't noticed me yet, I continued to stand there, sizing him up. He looked about mid-20s, pretty good-looking, although he couldn't dress for shit. He was wearing a vintage Fat Albert t-shirt. What the fuck? Where the hell did she find this dude? And where was Amber? Swallowing my pride, I took a few steps forward before I threw my keys down on the table. Where's Amber? Turning his attention away from the television, he finally looked at me. But he didn't say anything, didn't answer me. What kind of game was this guy trying to play? I spoke louder. Excuse me, who are you? Nothing. Not a fucking word. Cracking my knuckles, I prepared to knock him out if necessary. Dude, is there a reason you're not answering my question? The asshole not only continued to give me the silent treatment, but then he turned his attention away from me again and back to the television. My mouth hung open. And what was he watching? The Wiggles? What the fuck? Approaching him, I leaned my face into his. Who are you? The next thing I knew, his two hands landed on my head, pushing me into his face so fast that I had no time to react. His nose was buried in my hair as he pulled on it. It was like he was sniffing me for dear life. He was. He was sniffing my hair. Barely unable to break free of what felt like a superhuman grasp, I managed to pull myself away just as Amber entered the room. "I see you've met Milo," she casually said. "Who the hell is he?" She was laughing, and at that same moment, realization struck. Oh. Oh. Now, I felt like an idiot. A massive fucking dumbass. This wasn't her date. It was her client, the special needs adult she takes care of at night. She'd never brought him here, so I never suspected it was him. Everything made total sense now. Rather than answer my question, Amber seemed to understand that I'd figured it out. She looked utterly amused as she took a seat on the couch, then wrapped her arm around him. "Milo, this is Channing. He has nice hair, doesn't he? Did it smell good?" He smiled and grunted. "Yeah, I bet." She laughed, then looked at me. "Milo loves to smell hair. It's his favorite thing to do. And if you're fresh meat like yourself, you're going to get extra special attention." I nodded, then addressed him. "Sorry, man, for overreacting. I didn't know." I looked at Amber. "Can he understand me?" She got up and nudged her head for me to follow her before leading me over to the kitchen. Whispering, she said, "Sorry, I just didn't want to talk about him in front of him." "Yeah, of course." I'm not sure the extent to which he can understand something like an apology, actually. He can typically understand concrete things. He can request very simply but can't converse or talk about feelings, stuff like that. But just because it doesn't come out verbally, that doesn't mean he doesn't understand. There's still a lot even I don't comprehend.
So, what does he have?
He has autism. He lives in a group home with other adults who have varying needs. But as you know, I take him out a few nights a week. I normally don't bring him back here, but I ended up having to use the bathroom while we were out. Since we weren't too far away, I figured I'd just come home. He loves the Wiggles, so I knew if I put that on, it would buy me some time to get a few things done around the house. Now, I don't think he'll ever want to leave.
God, I thought I was interrupting something. Thought you'd brought a man back here. He looked so, I don't want to say normal, but what's the right word? Typical?
Typical would be what I would say, yes. That's the thing about autism. You can't necessarily tell by looking at someone that there are any developmental issues. It's only when you try to interact with them that you realize it. In Milo's case, he's childlike, even though he's close to our age.
Wow. That's perplexing and fascinating at the same time. When we returned to the living room, Milo was no longer paying attention to the television. In fact, he had turned it off altogether. Instead, he was playing around on an iPad. "What's he watching?" I asked.
"He likes to watch YouTube."
I sat down next to him on the couch and leaned in. He was looking at clips from the show Archer. It was some kind of montage. "That's a cool show," I said. Apparently, my giving him that little bit of attention served as his cue to wrap his arm around me, once again pulling my head into his face. His nose felt like a vacuum atop my head. Closing my eyes, I let him do it, as uncomfortable as it was allowing a grown man my age to cradle my head and sniff me. Amber chuckled. "He's definitely motivation to keep my hair smelling fresh and clean, but I feel like I'm not competition for you at this very moment." When he finally let me go, I noticed that he was looking at the iPad screen, then back at me. He kept doing this over and over. "What's up?" I asked him. Amber chimed in. "I think he thinks you're Archer. He's done this to me and other people." "That's why he's watching it? He thinks I'm the character?"
"It's possible. I've seen him do that before."
"Who does he think you are?"
"Daria from that old MTV show."
That cracked me up. It must be the bangs.
"Anyway, we were about to head back out to get some dinner," she said. "Would you want to join us?"
Watching Amber with Milo was actually really fascinating. It was an entirely different side of her life that I'd never gotten to see. So I took her up on her offer. Amber held onto his hand as the three of us walked down the street. "Do you always hold his hand like that?"
"I don't have to, but it gives me a feeling of security. He's been known to suddenly run if he gets excited about something. It's not worth the risk. And he doesn't mind holding my hand."
People must have thought I was the third wheel as we strolled through Quincy Market, one of Boston's biggest tourist attractions. Milo was twice the size of Amber. No one would have ever guessed by looking at them that her number one job was to keep him safe. After we stopped for Greek food, Milo's favorite, we browsed through some of the vendor carts surrounding Faneuil Hall. Milo pulled Amber toward a woman who was selling hats and sunglasses. She was trying to get him to go in another direction.
"Milo, no, we can't go here."
"Why not?" I asked.
"He likes to snap sunglasses in half. That's why I can only wear dollar store ones around him."
When he had his mind set on something, it was apparently hard to distract him toward anything else. Amber couldn't pull him away from the cart. Honestly, I didn't know how she took him out by herself because she didn't have the strength to control him on her own. I intervened, holding onto his shoulders. "What do you want, Milo?" He then grabbed a pair of sunglasses, placing them on my face before taking one of the large pink hats and putting it on my head. He then let out one of his big, grunty laughs.
"I'm sorry," Amber said to the saleswoman.
"No problem.
He reminds me of my nephew," she said. We were all laughing at that point. Apparently, Milo had gotten his fill after emasculating me. He began to just walk away. Amber chased after him as I placed the items back on the cart. When I caught up to them, she looked frazzled, then said,
"I normally wouldn't take him someplace like this with a lot of knickknacks without a second set of hands. I'm glad you were here."
"I don't know how you do it."
"You mean, take him out?"
"Yeah, by yourself."
"Well, he has to learn. He has to learn to live in this world. If that means some embarrassing moments and what sometimes looks like male-female wrestling to the outside observer, then so be it. But if people don't like it, that's their problem, not mine."
I really admired her for that attitude, and honestly, Milo was one damn lucky fucker. We ended up getting ice cream from Ben and Jerry's. Milo got a massive cone of the strawberry flavor, while Amber and I each got small cups of mint chocolate chip. We sat down on a couple of benches in the marketplace. It was now evening, and the sun had gone down over the popular city attraction. Amber and Milo were across from me on their own bench when almost his entire dollop of ice cream fell off his sugar cone and onto Amber's chest. Before she could even react, he face-planted into her cleavage, licking up the entire dollop back into his mouth in one swoop. It had all happened so fast that Amber just sat there looking stunned. Ice cream was dripping down into her shirt. And no, I didn't offer to finish off the job.
I was too busy busting out into laughter, and then she followed suit.
That was a good one, Milo, I shouted from across the way. I think I'm going to use that move someday. When he also started laughing, I couldn't help wondering if maybe Mr. Milo was smoother than we'd given him credit for. That night, after we dropped Milo back at his house, Amber and I were hanging out in the living room. She was keeping a good few feet away from me on the opposite end of the couch.
I can't believe you do that several nights a week. You've talked about it, but I had no idea it was so much work.
I can handle it.
I'm really proud of you. Not that many people can do what you do. It takes a certain personality and a shitload of patience.
She blushed a little from the compliment. It was fucking adorable.
Well, it makes me feel good that I could help him have as normal a life as possible. He won't have independence like you and me. He won't drive or be able to live on his own, but it's all about helping him get to his personal best, whether that's just knowing how to cross the street or getting him to practice waiting in a store line.
Shit, woman. No wonder you're exhausted when you come home.
It's true. Before you moved in, I used to sometimes just crash and go right to sleep.
Ah, so I've been disrupting your rest.
Yes, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Tonight had been a really great distraction from not having to worry about the dilemma of this upcoming Saturday. I still didn't know what I was going to do. I decided to test the waters to see if by some chance she'd give me a clue of what was going on in her mind. I was thinking of going to see that new movie about shark-infested waters at the IMAX theater Saturday night, like an early evening show. I don't really feel like going alone. You think you'd want to join? As expected, she looked flustered.
I can't Saturday.
I swallowed. You have plans?
Yes, I'm meeting a friend for drinks.
All right, maybe another time then.
Yeah.
God, my stomach hurt. Her cheeks were turning red. I knew she didn't like having to lie to me. I was a prick for putting her into this situation, but I wasn't ready to confront her about it now. It had been a long night, and I really needed to think about how I was going to handle it. We were silent for a while as we each pretended to be paying attention to Jimmy Fallon. She looked guilty, and I hated that I knew exactly why.
I'm gonna turn in, she finally said as she stood up. Thanks again for hanging out with us tonight.
My pleasure. I'd love to do it again. If you ever want to take him somewhere that warrants an extra set of hands, I'm your man.
Thanks. I'll try to plan something like that before you leave.
Before I leave. Fuck, that's right. I'd be gone by Christmas. For some reason, it felt like I was supposed to be here longer. Sweet dreams, Amber. Back in my room, once again sleep was evading me. Kitty was kneading on my abs, her little claws digging into me. Under my t-shirt, it looked like I was into kinky sex with scratches all over my skin. The wrong kind of pussy had done a number on me, the kind that left white hairs all over my bed, too. I spoke to her in a low, soothing voice.
Kitty, what am I going to do with you? You going to come back to Chicago with me? Then what? Huh? I'm stuck with you? Like for 20 years? You know, we really should have discussed this before you got attached. I don't do commitment.
Meow.
You're telling me I don't have a choice, huh? Okay, you convinced me. I think I'll keep you. This was the nightly ritual. She'd listen to me speak to her ever so quietly, and I'd watch her eyes slowly close as she fell asleep to the sound of my voice. Thank God no one was witnessing this, or I definitely would have had to hand over my man card. I was just about to turn the sound on my phone off when I noticed a new text had come in. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but no, it was her. Emily.
Saw on your Instagram that you were at Quincy Market today, and I haven't been able to concentrate on anything else. I can't believe you're in Boston. Are you here on business? I've been meaning to contact you for a while now. I just haven't had the guts, and I've felt ashamed. I'm no longer with Tim. Long story short, I haven't stopped thinking about you and realized soon after I went back to him that I'd made a big mistake. Do you think you could meet me at the Common tomorrow? There's a lot I need to say to you. I completely understand if you'd rather not. I figured it was worth a shot to ask. I really miss you and don't want to miss any opportunity to see you while you're here.
Chapter 8 Amber Annabelle was helping me look through the clearance table at Victoria's Secret.
So I'm looking for size extra large, right?
Right, I said as I mindlessly sifted through the pile of lace undies.
You're not even listening. You're not extra large. You're barely a small. Your head is somewhere else.
She picked up a tiny piece of fabric.
What about this thong?
I don't wear thongs. I don't like the string. It feels funny in my ass.
Get used to saying that, she joked. Are you kidding me right now?
Yes, of course I am.
Sort of.
Seriously, though, are you nervous? Throwing a pair of zebra print panties across the pile, I said, Yes, I am. I've considered canceling, but then I remind myself that I don't have to go through with it if I'm not feeling it when I meet him.
That's a good plan. And make sure you have condoms. Several.
I'm sure he has those.
Yeah, but you never know. Buy the best kind and insist on using yours. You don't know where his had been stored. Make sure you buy lubricated.
For someone who was pushing me into this, you seem more worried than me. And that's freaking me out. I threw some beige underpants at her. Stop it.
I kind of am worried. To be honest, I never thought you'd actually go through with it. You really surprised me.
I talk a good game, but I think what you're doing takes balls. And I'm proud of you for taking control of your sexual needs.
Lower your voice, I whispered. Everything is going to be fine, Amber.
God, I sure hoped I was doing the right thing for myself. After racking up a $200 bill, I left the store with a large, pink-striped bag filled with a multitude of thongs and other lingerie. Annabelle and I parted ways out front as she headed toward the train station. I opted to walk home, since my house wasn't that far from the downtown crossing shopping area. A long, brisk walk sounded like just what the doctor ordered. Dried-up autumn leaves crunched under my UGG boots as I strolled. Cutting through the Boston Common, I glanced over at the swan boats, trying to forget about thoughts of riding on them with Rory. Then, I nearly lost my breath when I saw him.
Channing?
It was. He was sitting on a bench talking to a tall, gorgeous brunette. She looked like the kind of girl who women love to hate, and a perfect match for Channing, looks-wise. Her hair was long, the strands blowing toward him in the wind as they engaged in what looked like an intense conversation. Her chestnut hair contrasted her fair skin, which accentuated her plump, red lips. Wearing dark, tapered jeans that looked like they were painted onto her legs and high-heeled boots, she basically looked like a supermodel. They were seated very close to one another, their bodies turned inward and their legs touching. I could feel the heat in my body rise. This shouldn't have upset me. I knew Channing probably picked up women in public all of the time. But this was the first time I'd ever witnessed it, and my reaction was really telling.
Really, Amber? You have a sack full of lingerie so you can have sordid sex with a male prostitute on Saturday, and you're considering hiding from Channing because you're upset he's talking to a girl? Grow up. Giving myself a mental kick in the ass, I marched over to where they were seated, but then stopped just short of where he could see me. Channing wasn't acting like his normal, smiling, flirtatious self. The tone of their exchange seemed serious. He suddenly glanced over and saw me before I could opt to slip away unnoticed. Channing instinctively moved his body away from the woman when he said, "Amber." Taking a few steps forward, I put on my best fake smile.
"Hey."
"What are you up to?" he asked.
Shrugging, I said, "Just did a little shopping. Now I'm headed back home." His eyes were glued to my shopping bag. He was probably wondering why I'd gone to Victoria's Secret when my vagina was more dried up than a desert.
"Looks like more than a little shopping."
"Yeah, well, gotta have underwear, right?"
"Right."
He turned to his lady friend.
Amber, this is Emily. Emily, this is my friend Amber, the one I'm living with."
"Emily? The Emily?" I looked between them, wondering if I'd heard correctly.
"Emily?"
His eyes were telling me not to mention that he'd spoken of her to me. So yeah, it was definitely that Emily.
"Yes," he said.
Emily smiled.
Of course, her teeth were just as perfect as everything else. Nice to meet you, Amber. What brought you two to the common? I asked.
We're just catching up.
Wow. I had so many questions, but they were going to have to wait. Great. Well, I'll leave you two to catch up, then.
I'll see you at home later, he said.
Yep, see you later. I turned to her. Really nice to meet you, Emily.
Not.
Same, she smiled. I started to walk away. So flustered, I wasn't paying attention when a man walking his dog knocked into me. The leash ended up wrapped around my leg as the dog yelped like crazy. The animal then began tearing into my shopping bag with his teeth. Channing and Emily were still looking over at me when all of my lingerie fell out of the now entirely ripped bag. The thongs and other pieces were strewn about the grass. This was mortifying. The owner apologized, but the damage had been done. They had seen the entire thing unfold. Channing got up off the bench and promptly began to help me pick up my underwear off the ground. I couldn't even look at him as he handed them to me. I can just put them in my purse. Thank you. When all of the panties were safely in my leather satchel, my eyes finally met his. He looked concerned.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. That was really weird. I glanced over at Emily and whispered, This is interesting. What brought her back into the picture?
Yeah. She texted me out of the blue and asked me to meet here.
Wow. Is she still with that guy?
No. They broke up.
Why was my stomach churning? I see. Well, I don't want to keep you. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. He looked like he wanted to say something else, but instead just answered with,
You too.
Once home, I found it very difficult to concentrate. All I could think about was what Channing and Emily were doing. Tonight was my night off from working with Milo, but I almost wished that weren't the case. I could have used a distraction from the thoughts floating around in my head. Between my upcoming rendezvous on Saturday, to my irrational feelings of jealousy, my mind was all over the place. A couple of hours later, I was just about to head to bed when Channing walked in. I straightened up on the couch. Hey.
Hi.
He plopped down next to me, smelling like cold air and cologne. He turned to me, and we just looked at each other for a bit, silently acknowledging the awkward run-in from earlier. Examining him closely, I tried to figure out whether he looked different, namely, whether he looked like he'd had sex. His hair was rustled. That could have been from the wind, or it could have been from her hands running through it. His lips were red. That could have been from the cold, or it could have been from her kiss. Images of him hovering over the sexy brunette flashed through my mind. Even the idea of him having sex with her turned me on, and that was a little disturbing. I told myself I wasn't going to pry, unless he wanted to offer the information. But a part of me needed to know how the Emily thing came about, what he was thinking, whether he had fucked her. Everything. I needed to know everything. Well, maybe I could pry a little. My heart sped up as I initiated the conversation. How was your date?
It wasn't really a date. It was just a meet-up.
So what happened? I thought she was out of the picture.
You and me both.
He chuckled, then let out a deep sigh before rubbing his eyes. Then he looked at me.
After you and I came home from taking Milo out the other night, I realized I'd missed a text from her. She messaged me because she saw I was in Boston from my Instagram. I rarely post anything, but I'd posted a shot from Quincy Market. She said she'd been thinking about me for a while and wanted me to know that she ended things with her boyfriend. She asked if we could meet.
So she broke up with him? The guy she went back to while she was seeing you?
Yep. Apparently she says it's for good this time.
What else did she say to you?
She said the feelings she had for me scared her at the time, and that her running back to him was like a safety net. She said she didn't fully trust that I was ready for a relationship because I hadn't had any serious girlfriends. But she claimed she couldn't stop thinking about me, and that she regretted ending things and not taking a chance. She never planned to contact me, because she figured I wouldn't want to see her. She took my being in Boston as a sign that she should get in touch with me.
The jealousy meter was definitely off the charts at this point. I didn't know what to say.
Wow. Yeah. I honestly didn't expect to hear from her ever again.
How do you feel about all of this?
He blew out a breath.
I don't know. The whole thing is sort of complicated. I still have feelings for her and I'm very attracted to her. But at the same time, I'm going back to Chicago too, you know. Then there's the issue of not being able to really forget how she abruptly ended things. That left a bitter taste. I'm trying not to overthink it. I guess I'll just have to see how things go while I'm here.
A small part of me was happy that Channing had a second chance with the one girl he'd truly connected with. It felt like fate, him ending up in Boston and getting to rekindle things with her. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't extremely jealous. I'd probably always be envious of any woman who could be with Channing in that way. My stomach was unsettled, but I did my best to offer sound advice, despite my biased discomfort.
I don't blame you for being cautious. Just take one day at a time.
I needed water. I got up and walked toward the kitchen while still talking to him.
Where did you go after the common?
He followed me.
You mean after we stopped talking about my awkward friend with the mutilated bag of underwear?
Taking out a glass and filling it, I laughed.
Did I embarrass you?
He leaned into the counter.
I'm just messing with you. We did laugh about it after you left, though. I told her a little about our friendship and history. Then we left the common and grabbed a bite to eat at Fuddruckers. After dinner, I walked her to the train. She hopped on the commuter rail. She lives in Waltham.
Did you kiss her? I spit out.
Once, before she got on the train.
My face felt flush at the thought of that, and I wondered if my jealousy was transparent. I hoped not. I just kept staring at him for a bit.
I see.
That prompted him to ask.
Something else you want to ask?
When are you seeing her again?
I'm supposed to see her tomorrow night, but to be honest, I don't know if that's a good idea.
You don't completely trust her?
I'm not sure. But honestly, I don't know if I want anything serious with anyone, even her. My frame of mind isn't exactly the same as it was when I met her. Stuff has happened since then. I don't know what I want anymore.
I wondered what stuff he was referring to.
Well, she's really beautiful. I can see why you're drawn to her.
She is.
He smiled, unable to deny that.
Any other questions?
No, that'll be all for tonight. He leaned his back against the counter and crossed his arms.
So, any particular reason why you were stocking up on panties, Walnut?
Can't let a good sale go to waste. He lifted his brow.
That's it.
My face felt hot.
Yeah.
He was searching my eyes.
Okay.
I swallowed, feeling very uncomfortable. I didn't like lying to him. But telling him why I'd really purchased the underwear was not an option.
Oh, check this out, he said, taking out his phone. We ran into Steven Tyler from Aerosmith downtown. He was just standing around talking to people, so we snapped a few photos.
That's so cool.
I'm gonna go change,
he suddenly said before leaving me with his phone to peruse the photos.
In one of the shots, Emily and Channing were on each side of Steven Tyler. I couldn't tell which one of them had the more gorgeous smile. I sighed. As I tried to zoom in, I accidentally hit something that brought me to an index of photo albums categorized by year. Randomly, I clicked on 2015. Big mistake. I came upon something I never should have seen. A series of dick pics. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. There, in all of its glory, was Channing's beautiful cock. Just as thick and magnificent as I might have, on occasion, imagined it to be. The crown was perfectly rounded and in perfect proportion to the shaft, his golden skin slightly veined yet smooth. And it was long, really long and thick. In the three photos, you could see the base of his tatted, carved V, along with the thin line of hair forming a path down to his crotch.
Footsteps. I freaked out as I heard him approach and accidentally dropped the phone onto the ground.
He landed right in front of it, picking it up, and putting it in his pocket.
Whoa, be careful, Butterfingers.
Oh, no. I froze because I didn't know if it was going to open right up to the photo of his cock the next time he checked it. Had I somehow exited out? I didn't think so.
How about a late dinner? He asked.
Didn't you already have something while you were out?
I'm still hungry. If I make something, will you eat?
Sure. He examined my face, seeming to notice that something was off.
You all right?
Yes, I lied. Unable to look at him for the time being, I went to the couch in the living room and prayed that I'd dodged a bullet while Channing cooked us something. I didn't want to be in the kitchen if he happened to look down at his phone. Several minutes later, he called out from the kitchen,
"Food's ready."
When I took a seat at the table, I immediately noticed that his phone was now out and on the counter. That meant he'd likely checked it if he'd taken it out of his pocket. So the damage was either done or had been averted. He was acting totally normal, so I breathed a little sigh of relief as we dug into our food. This was fine. Maybe he didn't notice. Maybe I had closed out of it. Just eat and forget about it? Yeah, right. I looked down at the meal in front of me.
This is interesting. It's something I've wanted to make for a while. It's melted chocolate cheese pizza.
Killed two birds with one stone. Dinner and dessert, I said as I tried to remain calm. It actually turned out to be really good. The tangy cheese and sweet chocolate atop the crispy crust made for an unexpectedly tasty contrast. Leave it to Channing to figure out the culinary potential in that unusual combination. He was looking at me intently when he asked,
"How did you like it?"
"It was delicious, thank you." He leaned in and crossed his arms. His voice was low.
"I was referring to my dick."
The food caught in my throat.
"Excuse me?" "You were looking at a picture of my dick earlier, weren't you? It was open on my phone."
The pizza felt like it was coming up on me. I can explain." His brow lifted.
"Yeah?"
"I wasn't looking for those pictures. I swear. I was looking at Steven Tyler, then hit a button, and the next thing I knew, it was 2015 and Cockapalooza." He started to crack up as he rubbed his eyes.
"Cockapalooza.
I'm mortified." When his laughter died down, he said,
"I'm the one who should be embarrassed, not you."
"Trust me, you have nothing to be embarrassed about." Those words exited my mouth before I could think better of saying them. Great. I'd basically just complimented him on his cock.
"Well, thank you."
He slid his phone toward me.
"And if you think I have nothing but dick pics on my phone, feel free to scroll through everything. I'm pretty sure you found the one hidden gem in the lot."
I hit the cock lottery, apparently. I slid his phone back toward him. "Lucky me. Anyway, do you think it's possible to never mention this again?"
"But you're so cute when you're embarrassed. Seeing as though I'm not very cute, however, when I'm embarrassed, we can agree to forget this ever happened."
The fact that he actually seemed uncomfortable about this took me by surprise. "Thanks."
"No problem."
Channing surprised me with his next question as he changed the subject.
"So, what do you think I should do about Emily?"
"We're on this subject again? I would probably rather talk about the dick pic than her."
"You're asking me?" "Why not? I trust your opinion probably more than anyone's."
He totally stumped me. I wanted to tell him that she didn't deserve him, that she'd had her chance. But then I had to wonder if that answer was influenced by my selfish need to not have to witness him with her over the next several weeks. People make mistakes. They misjudge. Everyone deserves a second chance, right? Still, the right answer was unclear to me. "I'm not sure what to tell you. I think you should honestly do what's in your heart. I do believe everyone deserves at least one second chance, though." He kept staring into my eyes, then said,
"Like the one you plan to give Rory."
"Rory isn't asking for one."
"Yet."
"I don't know what I would do if he did, to be honest. I mean, how can you ever trust someone who left you once?" He crossed his arms.
"I know what my advice to you would be if he ever came back."
"You'd tell me not to take him back."
You deserve better than someone who's stupid enough to throw you away once.
Why wouldn't the same apply to you, then?
I guess I don't see my situation with Emily in the same way. We'd barely gotten started. I'd also given her no real indication that I was ready for a relationship, even though I might have been leaning in that direction. And looking back, I don't think things had completely ended with her boyfriend. So, all things considered, I do think the situation is a lot different than yours.
Makes sense. You didn't have a long history like I did with Rory. He was my first everything, and I thought he'd be my last. It's hard to break away from the future I'd envisioned. I'm doing everything I can to try. But overall, I feel very lost.
Way to change the subject over to Rory, Amber. He took a while to respond, then leaned in. You're placing value on the distorted idea that the decision he made somehow reflects on you. It doesn't. You're still you, and you have your whole life ahead of you. Fuck him.
His words were momentarily empowering. He always had a way of making me feel better, even if it was only fleeting. I placed my hand on his arm. Thank you. I needed that. He was staring at me for a bit before he said,
You said that Rory was your first everything.
Channing squinted his eyes like he was challenging me.
You sure about that?
My heart began to flutter. Was he getting at what I thought he was getting at?
Not your first kiss, though, he said.
He was getting at that. I could not believe he brought this up. It was never something that Channing and I discussed. It was almost like a dream. In fact, I sometimes doubted whether he even remembered or whether it even really took place. We were in such a fog that night, but it still happened, and it was a moment I could never forget. I finally replied, No, you were my first kiss.
Chapter 9. Channing. Was I a dick for wanting her to acknowledge that I had a leg up on Rory in one thing? I'd always suspected that I was Amber's first kiss, but I never asked her because we'd simply never spoken about that moment in time. I could never handle talking about Lainey's death, and the circumstances of that kiss were somehow tied into the tragedy of my sister's passing. As far as first kisses went, ours was far from typical, far from sexual even. It was eclipsed by our mutual sadness and devastation. But in the midst of one of the darkest days of my life, that kiss was like a lifeline, my oxygen. It had given me a reason to breathe just when I thought my lungs were ready to give out. I always figured that was your first kiss, I said, but I never knew for sure until you just confirmed it. I wasn't sure if you remembered, Channing. I often wondered if you truly mentally blocked out that whole day. Much of that entire time is a blur, to be honest. But that moment, that kiss, is not something I could ever forget. It was the evening of Lainey's wake. I'd managed to pull myself together somehow, standing in that line and shaking hundreds of hands that were attached to blurry black figures. As much as I knew I needed to cry, I wouldn't allow myself to. It was hard enough to watch my mother breaking down. I didn't want her to have to see me cry because I knew it would kill her. So I held it in. The preacher began to read something, and I knew I couldn't take it. So I slipped away, disappearing to a gazebo out in the back of the funeral home. To my surprise, Amber was there. Her hair was covering her face. She was alone and crying and didn't see me at first. She'd been composed all night too, but seeing that she'd stopped fighting, it gave me silent permission to do the same. Unable to hold my tears in any longer, I let go in that moment. Moisture filled my eyes. I was too numb to even realize that I was crying, were it not for the vibration of my ribs shaking in pain. Joining her on the bench, I held Amber in my arms and let those first tears fall into her hair. My crying was so intense that it was silent. We continued holding each other for an immeasurable amount of time. At one point, she turned her face toward me, and I could taste her breath. It felt like oxygen. Suddenly, tasting more of it became all I wanted in the world. Desperate to feel anything other than my pain,
I took what I needed and kissed her. My eyes were closed, my breath shaking. It was hard and passionate and desperate, so different from any other kiss I'd ever experienced before or ever would experience again in my life. It was an expression of our pain and yet a reminder that we were alive when we'd otherwise felt dead inside. Each thrust of my tongue and each moan into her mouth numbed that pain. It was intense and beautiful and sacred. It provided a momentary peace that words couldn't. Interrupted by the footsteps of Amber's father, I pried myself off of her just in the nick of time, even though it was the last thing I wanted to do. My heart was pounding. My palms were sweating. Amber looked dazed as she got up and left. And we never spoke of it again. I was very lucky to have found you there that night, I said. Tears began to glisten in her eyes.
I never told anyone about that kiss. Not Rory, not anyone.
Neither did I. It wasn't the kind of kiss you talked about.
Clearly, we didn't.
Well, you said Rory was your first everything. I thought I would take the liberty to remind you that technically that one belonged to me.
It definitely did, she smiled.
Feeling the need to lighten the mood, I said, I think I'm going to make some tea. You want some? It was late, but I was enjoying hanging out with Amber and wanted to prolong our little nightcap. My reaction to her finding those photos on my phone surprised me. It affected me, and I couldn't figure out exactly why. I'd flaunted my body to women enough times that you'd think it wouldn't have. But this was different. This was Amber. She already had some preconceived notions about me, and while many of them were true at one time, I'd changed quite a bit in the past couple of years. After steeping two hot teas, I handed her one. So, I finished the Law of Attraction. Are you ready to talk about our books? She looked down into the steaming hot water and cringed.
Don't kill me, but I haven't finished The Alchemist.
Slacking on our arrangement? I teased.
I know, I'm sorry. I've had a hard time concentrating lately. I've been a bit too preoccupied to read. I know I said I'd have it finished.
Whatever could be preoccupying you, Amber? I'm just kidding, I said. It's a book. It will always be there when you're ready to open it again. But I'm ready to talk about the Law of Attraction. She wiped her mouth and eagerly gave me her full attention.
What did you think of it?
Well, the biggest takeaway is that if you want something in life, you can't focus on the problem. You have to focus on the solution, or rather, focus on what you truly want. When we stress, we dwell on the things that bother us. And the more attention we give to those things, the more we attract that negativity into our lives. Whether someone believes in the attraction component or not, at the very least, the book teaches the obvious, which is that dwelling on negative shit gets you nowhere.
Do you believe that you can actually attract something by focusing on it?
I rubbed my chin and thought about it for a moment. No way to know for sure. That's a mystery of life, but now that I'm more consciously aware of that possibility, I'll let you know if I experience it happening to me. She sighed.
I love the concept of the book, but honestly, I found it hard to implement. Even trying hard to block something out of your mind is still inadvertently focusing on it. It's scary for me to think that if I'm lamenting over Rory or telling myself that I'll never find anyone else, that I could be attracting that exact situation.
Okay, so. Just in case that's true, try to think about something you really want and practice focusing on that instead. She looked at me in silence, then asked,
What if what you want is something you can never have?
Well, that's what you're telling yourself. That may not be true. Maybe you should try to think more positively. Was she referring to me, or was that just my ego? Either way, my advice would have been the same, but now I was left feeling rattled and wondered what was really going on in her pretty little head. Today was probably one of the most confusing days of my life. There was no doubt I still had feelings for Emily. It was so good to see her, and I was immediately reminded of all the reasons I fell for her in the first place. She seemed genuinely sorry about the way things had ended between us, and made it clear that she wanted a second chance. When she'd asked me to go back to her place, I almost budged. But I knew what going there would have meant. It seemed like forever since I'd been inside of a woman. I hadn't slept with anyone since before moving to Boston. This was the longest I'd gone without sex since I was a teenager, and truthfully, I was nearing my breaking point. But I somehow resisted, deciding instead not to take advantage of the offer. While a part of me suspected that it wasn't exactly the end of the story for Emily and me, I couldn't ignore the fact that Amber had been on my mind the entire day. When she appeared at the common, something shifted. Things were awkward in a way that was different from just running into your friend. Emily sensed it too. She asked me if there was anything going on between Amber and me. I told her the truth. Amber and I were just friends. So, why did it not seem as simple as that answer? Emily and I decided to have dinner in Chinatown. Looking around at the bamboo-style wooden decor and waterfalls at the restaurant, I dragged my fork over the Singapore noodles. As I gazed out a window across the street that was dressed with ducks laying upside down in a row, Emily interrupted my thoughts.
You seem like something's on your mind.
Just thinking about work.
Has it been busy?
Yeah. I have limited time here to get what I need to get done, so there's a lot of pressure. Of course, work wasn't really the subject of my obsessive thoughts tonight. I still didn't know what I was going to do about Saturday. The truth was, I was seriously considering just letting the Gentleman Nine thing blow away. Maybe I'd send Amber a message from the G9 email account canceling tomorrow night, or maybe I could just not show up at all. I honestly had no idea how to handle it. And now with Emily in the picture, things were even more complicated. Emily leaned in and threaded her fingers through mine.
Can we go back to my place? I can make you forget all about it for a while.
Sex with Emily had been the best of my life. I felt like I needed to go. I needed to figure out where my feelings for her stood, and one way to do that would be to bury myself inside of her to see if that amazing sexual chemistry we had before still existed. It had been too long for me, and focusing my sexual energy on someone other than Amber was probably a good idea at this point in time. I forced the words out. Sure. Let's go to your place. Once back at Emily's apartment in Waltham, she didn't waste time setting up a romantic atmosphere. The shades were drawn and the lights were dimmed. She played Coltrane and poured some of my favorite gin, which she'd bought likely knowing I would end up back here.
I just want to put something out there, she said.
I threw back the liquor. All right. It burned the back of my throat.
If we decide to give this another try, I would be open to moving to Chicago. I know in the past I said I was tied to this area, but I feel like a new start could be really good for me. I know we're not there yet, but I just wanted to make sure you knew that I would be willing to move for you.
No, we definitely aren't there yet. Noted, I simply said. At one point, she left me in the living room while she ventured into her room. I looked around aimlessly, my eyes landing on her bookshelves, then wandering over to a sculpture of an elephant in the corner. She returned to the living room before taking my hand to follow her back into the bedroom. Why am I nervous? This was by no means my first rodeo. Far from it. What the fuck is wrong with me? Candles that she'd lit flickered around us. She lifted off her dress to reveal a red lace bra and matching panties. Red was always her color, accentuating her long, dark hair. My dick twitched as I took in the sight of her body. She pulled me into her, and we kissed as I tried to calm down, caressing her back. Emily was rubbing her bare skin against me. I knew I could have slipped inside of her in 2 seconds flat and that she'd be wet and welcoming. But for some reason, instead of relaxing into everything that was happening, my muscles tightened. I realized in that moment that I was resisting. Why? Why was I moving away from this when my body was turned on? Something was off. Threading my finger through the back string of her thong, I pulled on it and closed my eyes, determined to let myself get lost in her tonight. The thong made me think of Amber's lingerie. Images of her underwear laying on the grass of the Boston Common flashed through my head. All of my thoughts then moved to Amber. My heart was now palpitating because suddenly the ass I was gripping was Amber's. At least in my mind it was. And I was getting harder. To get lost in Emily was what I wanted, but it wasn't what I needed. It started to hit me all at once. Amber was showing up to a hotel to supposedly fuck a stranger tomorrow. Tomorrow. But she didn't really want him. She wanted me. Why couldn't it be me? I was leaving town anyway. Why couldn't I be the one to give her what she needed in the meantime? Either I was losing my mind or this was making a lot of sense. I couldn't figure out which option was correct. And now, I was painfully hard thinking about this. Shit. I was in no state to be screwing Emily when all I could think about was sex with Amber. Prying myself away, I said, I don't think I can do this tonight. She looked shocked. What? Why? I've got some things on my mind that I can't shake. I'm really sorry, but I think I need to go home. The mood was understandably awkward for the next several minutes as Emily got her clothes back on. Will you call me when you're feeling better then? Of course. I just need a little time to sort some stuff out. Everything was suddenly very clear to me. Before I could focus on anything with Emily or anyone else, I had to get Amber out of my system.
Chapter 10. Amber. Annabelle picked up. Hey, are you on your way? My legs felt wobbly as I walked down Grove Street in my heels. Yes. Can you remind me what the hell I was thinking? Now that this day is actually here, I'm seriously considering backing out. You can't back out. You just paid a ton for a Brazilian wax. You need to show that shit to someone. Okay, if it doesn't work out, I'll come over in a trench coat and flash you before I drink the night away. I sighed. I just need to remember to breathe. Where are you now? I'm just walking up to the entrance of the Peabody. Make sure you call me the second it's over, okay? Even before that, if you need me. I blew out a shaky breath. Okay. Thank you, Annabelle. You got it, friend. Take care of yourself. With its dark wood decor and elaborate crown moldings, the historic Peabody Hotel was a place of rich architectural beauty. A beautiful Asian woman was playing the harp in a corner. G9's choosing this place meant he had good taste. My palms were sweaty as I entered the dark lounge, which was located diagonally across from the opulent front desk area. Red tablecloths were draped over the tables, and a massive chandelier shimmered from above. At the very least, if he never showed, I could just have a drink and leave. Remember, you don't have to do anything you're not totally comfortable with. Looking around anxiously, I searched for a man in a black polo shirt. My heart was pounding, and goosebumps peppered my skin. The room felt freezing cold. Then the feel of three fingers tapping on my shoulder caused me to jump before turning around. That was the moment my heart nearly stopped. His familiar scent wafted in the air, as arousing as ever despite my nerves. Channing! Channing? What was he doing here? This was bad. I couldn't let him find out about this. Gentleman Nine would be here any minute.
You look beautiful, Amber.
He didn't seem as surprised to see me as I was to see him. Gentleman Nine and Channing could not meet. On the verge of a panic attack, I stuttered, thank you. What are you doing here? Fiddling with his watch, Channing looked nervous, very unlike the cool and confident man I knew.
That's a great question.
He let out a single laugh as he gazed at the ceiling.
A great fucking question.
Are you meeting Emily?
No, I'm not.
What are you doing here, then?
Can we sit down somewhere, please?
What was I supposed to say? No, Channing, actually, I'm meeting a male prostitute for sex, so there's no time to sit and chat.
Sure. I'm just gonna go get you a glass of wine, he said before he swiftly made his way over to the bar.
I grabbed a seat. Stretching my neck, I kept looking around the room in search of Black Polo Man. There was no sign of anyone who met that description. At this point, I was relieved he wasn't here because I couldn't imagine having to introduce him to Channing. That would have been totally awkward. Channing returned to the table and handed me a large glass of white wine.
Here you go.
Thanks. I was still frantically searching the room when he interrupted me.
Amber, look at me.
His voice sounded even deeper than usual.
The look in his eyes told me something wasn't right. What's going on? Did something happen? Paranoia started to set in that maybe he'd heard me talking to Annabelle.